From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, with two-man coverage of the red and gold, this is the Locked On Chiefs Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome back, Chiefs Nation. It is another episode of Locked On Chiefs, and we have a special announcement today.
It's kind of a big day around here. So, you know, I think what we need to do is say hello to our old pal, Seth Kaiser. What's on, buddy?
Hey, good to talk to you guys again. It feels like it's been forever.
It really has, hasn't it?
Ugh. It has been
welcome a while. Summer.
I haven't, Chris, disagreed with you about anything in a really long time. I just think, I'm trying to think of something I could say that I know you'll disagree with. Scuba
that'll
dive.
End shortly enough. Don't worry about it.
Wow. Well, I didn't even need to try. Sweet. We've already disagreed about how long it'll take us to disagree. I'm excited for that.
That's awesome.
Well, it's really good to be back here with you guys. How have things been going? Did I miss anything fun?
Oh, you know, there was this whole Super Bowl season, I think, since we talked last.
It has
OTAs and this. I know it has, right?
Oh, I'm sorry.
And there's this young Chiefs QB that's taking over that everybody seems to talk about, but the team doesn't want to show anybody.
What?
We've never talked about that before.
Yeah, I've never even heard of that guy. I'm just excited to be back on with you guys. I kind of have something of an announcement in conjunction with your announcement. Is it okay if I take over your announcement and make my announcement?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, that sounds wonderful. Let's just talk about you. So I've had a lot of people ask me about the Chief in the North podcast because people are crazy and are willing to listen to me talk to myself for, 45 minutes. And I don't know how to say this. I kind of have some bad news and some good news, I guess. For people listening, the bad news is that the Chief in the North is no longer going to be recorded. And I'm really sorry. I've enjoyed it. Thank you so much for listening. It was a blast. However, there is some good news. The good news is that the reason I'm not going to be recording the Chief in the North anymore, and this is going to come as a real surprise to, the two guys I'm talking to, I'm going to be too busy joining with the Locked On Chiefs crew and becoming part of this team and this family, and they have to accept me whether they like it or not. So I hope you guys are okay with that.
Well, that's pushing
I'm feeling
it, buddy.
Good about it.
I don't know.
Do I need to turn up my microphone even louder?
Yes, more and more.
I will.
Oh, man. I'm glad to hear you make the announcement. Folks, we're super pumped. These two things that you have listened to and been loyal to for the longest time, and we really appreciate you here. We're going to be adding the conversation some folks that have been following Seth for a long time. And this is a fusion of both of those shows. We are now a three-person show with Chris, Seth, and myself, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
I'm really excited. I am so excited just to have people to talk to. Like, on the Chief, I'm serious. Like, on the Chief of the North, I would say something that I thought was funny. I'd be like, and then I'd realize that I wasn't talking to anyone and I just sounded insane. And so, this is nice to have people to actually ask opinions of. And plus, I constantly have people tell me, you need a co-host. I was like, maybe, I don't know, no. And
I like talking to myself.
I do. It's a real problem. And so I'm
Ryan. We already all knew that about you.
I'm really excited to join up with you guys. I think this is going to be, like you said, I mean, we both have a following that kind of blends together at times, but does have some separate people. And I'm just excited for all of us to work together. This is going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah. And man, it's culminating after, really a summer of change for all of us. Yeah. And folks, if you're not up to speed, Seth's over at The Athletic now, no longer at Arrowhead Pride. So, he's moved up to a piece and a place that he can write that is got national exposure. And I think that's great. How is it over there?
It's been really great. They are. I wish I could. It's always tough because you never want to, like, it sounds like you're denigrating your old place if you compliment the new place. And so nothing I say is meant to be a denigration of SB Nation or anything, but it's just crazy efficient at The Athletic. It's crazy the resources that they have available. It's just weird having articles, go through editors and like an official process. It's just been a whole lot of fun. My head's still kind of spinning. And the idea is, like you said, there's a little more national attention there. There's a little more, how you'd phrase it. You know, it's a little more the ability to maybe get credentials, the ability to do things just a little bit different. And I just enjoy the daylights out of the content that we're producing, you know, my stuff excepted, of course. But, you know, when I joined up, I was just like, well, it'll be interesting to see how, you know, like Nate Taylor, who's just crushing it. It's just so much fun to be part of a site that is so focused on just producing great content. And that is literally it. And I don't know if you guys have had a chance to read more than a little bit. I know you guys have kept up somewhat, and you guys can give me some constructive criticism if you want about what it's been like, whether it's been worth it.
Use less words. I'm tired.
Words do tire Ryan out, especially when he's typing them. That's beside the point. My question to you is, Seth, is how's that? I mean, you have to write what, 2 articles a week? Yep. Have you gotten under 4 a week yet?
I'm an overachiever, Chris.
I know. I'm just asking.
I've had a couple weeks. I've had a couple weeks where I only wrote 2. Like this last week, I was a counselor at kids camp, so I only wrote 2. But I'm excited. And then, you know, when you ask people to subscribe, which The Athletic is a subscription based website, for me, the goal is I want people to look at that as the best money they've ever spent on sports. And so some of that means, well, maybe I'll write 3 articles this week or 4. And so it's been a blast. I'm just so excited. And it's just such a cool site. It really is. You never think about how many sites are bogged down by ads until you go there and you're like, ooh, this is nice.
Or you write 5 articles because you're writing about different things about Patrick Mahomes and his, you know, his throwing motion or his footwork or a specific play or what's going on in his brain.
What he had for breakfast. You
know, just throwing stuff out there. Okay. Well.
I'm going to get that inside information. Yeah,
exactly. There's just so much to say about Patrick Mahomes. This is like a whole new, it's kind of cool that we're launching into a new era together because this is like a whole new era in Chiefs football. And it feels like it. It feels like it.
It really is.
And so
I think the first thing I'm going to request is I need 1,000 words on the pinky finger on his left hand, just so you can give me how the dynamics of that affect his throwing motion. Oh, sure. Absolutely.
Well, I'm going to get right on that. You know, Cody Tapp is always tagging me in videos he takes at training camps, like, Seth, I'm going to need 1,000 words on this throw stat. And my problem is I'm always like, well, could I get it? No, what am I doing? You know, I have a problem.
Ryan, here's the problem, though. Seth could write 1,000 words in like 30 minutes. I understand it takes you 5 hours, but
this is why I do video.
The key, yeah, this is why you do video. You know, the key with writing as fast as I do and putting out as much content as I do is to just, you kind of just let your brain just overflow and then just send it to the editor. I don't know if that's great advice, but it's worked so far. I mean, what am I? Yeah, I can't argue with the results so far. Now, maybe the editors aren't fans of it, but
maybe they're looking for new ones.
Right now, they're like, oh yeah, we've had 3 editors quit editing Seth's stuff. But I seriously, I cannot wait to do this, with guys. Oh no, what I do?
No, nothing. But this is why I am happy that Ryan hasn't been writing very much at Locked On Chiefs because man, it is hard.
I need someone to help me.
You've needed that for a very long time, but we don't need to get into that conversation. Let's go ahead and take a quick break, and we will be right back. Guys, remember the days when you were always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. BlueChew.com, that's blue like the color blue, BlueChew.com brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises.
And Blue Chew is prescribed online and ships straight to your door in a discreet package. So no one knows, no in-person doctor's visits, no waiting in the pharmacy. And best of all, no more awkwardness. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than at a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use the special promo code LOCKEDON. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com. And the promo code is Locked On. Blue Chew is better, cheaper, faster, and we thank them for sponsoring the podcast.
All right, so we've already started talking about Patrick Mahomes. So let's go ahead and do a little bit of a throwback and talk about another QB that played for Kansas City, 20 years ago, Joe Montana.
Oh, man, Montana magic. This is now, you know, Ryan, I wouldn't expect you to understand. This is when I was, you know, I was a child, so that was I was very.
You guys were in diapers. That's not why.
I was
drinking.
You know, it was I just wrote on Montana Magic and the whatever you want to call it, the miracle at Mile High, whatever it was. You know, it's funny. It was just a regular season win, but every Chiefs fan that I know who's like my age or even a few years younger and older than that, everyone remembers that game.
I'll never forget that game. That game was crazy. And watching John Elway drive down the field and what was it, 2 minutes leaving a minute and a half or 2 minutes left to Montana. And you're just sitting there going, there's no way he's going to turn this on Elway's yeah. face. Is he? Oh, is it? Yeah. Okay. Maybe it was he just, is.
Oh, it's fantastic. So great. It was just so meticulous too. So I do the anatomy of the play series. And so I'm breaking down the plays a little bit and it's tough. One thing I know, the NFL has really improved, or TV stations, I guess, have really improved in their coverage of games. Like, a lot. Because it's hard to find footage that you can break down. Like, Montana faked out the cameraman once. It was hilarious. But I think everyone remembers that game. It's one of those iconic games that even non-Chiefs fans talk about. You know, and Ryan, again, you know, you were in your mid-30s at the time. So, Do you remember what you were doing when you watched that game?
he's getting a little geriatric. Sure. Give him a break.
Oh, good Lord. You know, I got to tell you, I was at KU at the time.
he was sure. The elder student.
I remember coming out of film study and having that be late in the game by the time I saw any of it. And I got to tell you the truth. I didn't watch it live. I had to go back and see it. A friend had recorded it.
What a good friend.
That's how I saw it.
I mean, we all.
I know, right?
Yeah, that's good. You need friends like that in your life. Cause I mean, you can't watch everything and you that's the tough thing with sports. You never know when you might miss an iconic moment. And it was a regular season game. There was no reason to think that it would stand in history. But one thing I heard someone talk about is, you know, Montana and Elway, they really traded a lot of punches in the 80s. You know, when we think of Elway, you know, because he won his Super Bowl so late in his career, he was mostly an 80s guy. That game was considered by some, that's the game where Montana kind of rested the, no, it's me. I'm the king of comebacks. No one should ever put you above me ever. And I don't think anyone except Broncos fans would disagree with that.
Yeah, I got to say, I mean, I don't know how you guys feel about it in the hierarchy of football in general, but I never put John Elway as high as Joe Montana. And I think this game is one of those things that if I was going to have a long drawn out argument, like people on Twitter always want to do, and I am not engaging in, this is one thing I would point to. I'm just saying.
Yeah, but you're not engaging in it because you've got an edit button.
Well, right. And yeah, let's face it. That's like arguing about politics on Facebook. Nobody wins that fight. That is just this never-ending thing. But it's just such a fun game to watch. There's so many things. And it is, by the way, it's available on YouTube, the full game. If you just search, you know, Chiefs-Broncos 1994. And, I mean, you know, the last 10 minutes are obviously just huge. And there's just so many little moments there. Like watching the look. So the second-to-last play of the game, Montana hit the rookie Tracy Green for a big gain that got them down almost to the goal line, right? It was just a dart over the middle of the field, three-step drop. Great. I mean, like he read the defense pre-snap. He knew where he was going. And after that play, because they had kind of a long drive, it wasn't any one big play, right? It was like a bunch of kind of dink and dunks down the field. It's really surgical. You saw on the look on Phillip's face and the players' faces, they knew. They knew what was happening. You could see it on Elway's face. They knew it. Like the guys that were on the field, they just had this disbelieving like, oh no, it's happening. And it's so much fun to watch. I don't.
Well, you know what it was, don't you? You know what it was, though? It was they actually said, oh, crap, this is what every other team that yeah, always done this
those
to feels
moments.
Like.
Right. And that's the cool thing about watching that quarterback that is just so, and obviously this is Montana in his latter years, but it's so surgical down the field. And again, there's no big strikes, but there's a few things, you know, that I wrote about with regards to not just the throws he made, but the throws he didn't make and just how quickly Montana processed information is just crazy. Post snap, he just, I mean, boom, boom, boom. And he read defenses.
Well, I don't want to take away from that specific game or that specific snap, but I have to ask the question, since we're talking about Montana and we haven't before, if he doesn't go out in the AFC champion or in the game before the AFC championship, do you think the Chiefs have a Super Bowl?
I think they make one.
Oh, that was the Bills game, yeah. You know, that Bills team.
No. Well, it was just yeah, it was the Bills game.
Right. That Bills team really had the Chiefs number. They don't get remembered the way they should because of some really, they really should have won at least two of those Super Bowls. And they would get remembered entirely differently. That was a really, really great team. And
Buffalo was losing until Montana went out with a concussion.
That's fair.
Yeah, and man, he was out too. I just remember my dad telling me, yeah, he's not playing again.
Oh, really?
Because he was on the sideline just staring into space. Yeah. I mean, it was bad. And I think they've got a good chance. I mean, those defenses, I mean, they were great. And it just, you know, it's one of those things. Sometimes it just comes down to luck, honestly. And, I mean, the Chiefs have learned that during the Andy Reid era. Sometimes injuries are just too much because – it just matters so much when you lose that one key cog. I mean, we saw that against the Titans. Yeah, they had a meltdown, but they also lost arguably their most important players on offense and defense. And suddenly they just lost it. And so luck just plays such a big role, I think.
With that, on that note, let's take another quick break and we will come right back and talk about one of those players that the Chiefs lost in the Titans game that was a much bigger loss than we had originally thought it was.
And I like the way you teased that before the break. That's important. And it's a guy that I think he's taking a step forward. And I know, Seth, you looked at his film. Chris, how do you feel about where Chris Jones is right now?
I think he's a good player, but I don't think that it showed near on the field near as much as I expected it to last year. Mm-hmm. I don't think that he looked near as dominant as I was expecting him to be in his second season. But I do know that Seth has done a lot more tape study on this and has an opinion. So Seth, go ahead and give us a little bit of a play as to what you think about
this. Yeah, that's true.
Well,
see, this is
it's just whether or not it's agreed with, I mean.
Or whether or not it's remotely accurate. See, this will always be fun. I'm really looking forward to these moments as we move forward together. Cause like, you know, everything else is like, hey, I'm just participating, but these moments, this is my time to shine. So, well, actually, Chris, no, I'm just kidding. I'm going to start with that. Well, actually, here's the interesting thing. I had that exact same opinion, and I would actually love to hear, Ryan, you know, you and I have talked a little bit about Chris Jones. I'd like to know where you land on him too, because I had a certain opinion before going into like in really diving deep, and I ended up watching like 6.5 games, actually 7.5, but I didn't chart one of them. And I had a really similar opinion to Chris's. I was curious what you thought or think.
You know, and I have not done any advanced or specific study on Chris Jones all last season. My opinion came from watching other players next to him or what he was able to do on passing downs. And mm-hmm. I thought on first and second down, he was middle of the road. I saw flashes, but I really felt he was inconsistent. I thought on passing mm-hmm. downs in particular, he got good push, but it was when he was able, and I don't know whether this was by assignment or sheer luck or his confidence level. I still love when he's able to get up under somebody's pads and either push them back or do that rip where he can get into the gap. Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. the thing that I really enjoy about him. But again, I felt overall he was inconsistent.
Right. And that's exactly where I landed all year. I tweeted about it a few times. I was just like, you know, he's not bad. He didn't take a step backward, right? It's just he had such a good rookie season that we expected, you know, a dominant second season. And he definitely was not dominant. But here's what I found as I watched game after game. His win percentage, so if you compare it to his rookie season, right? His win percentage was up by, it was like 7 percentage points, which is, I mean, that's a drastic uptick.
Mm-hmm.
It went from like something about like 18.5 or 19 to about 26%. And let me tell you, winning on 25, 26% of your snaps as a defensive lineman is unbelievable. That's really good.
And did you
and his loss percentage? I didn't. But they're charted in there, but they're not part of the percentage. And so and his loss percentage actually went way down. Where he really improved last year, and I know this is going to sound crazy, was as a run defender. Which again, I know sounds nuts considering the struggles the defense had, but I think more than any other player on the team, including even Justin Houston, because Jones is like in the middle of it, right? I think Jones suffered from the lack of talent around him. Because teams were, he ate the Eagles alive, right? In week two.
Mm-hmm.
He played pretty well against the Patriots in week one. And the more you watch, the more I saw him. When he got left in one-on-one situations, he was consistently winning or neutral. And a neutral play isn't a bad play from a defensive player. But the guys around him just could not take advantage. And so what teams started doing, he saw between 8 to 12 effective double teams a game. That's an incredibly high number.
Yeah, that's approaching Don Tory.
Well, yeah, and he's also one of those guys that's supposed to eat blockers so the guy right behind him can make the plays. And with that, you know, Reggie Ragland, I thought, played really well towards the second half of the season. But not having that duo that can be back there and actually fill the holes really well and step in and do right well like DJ was not doing last year. That really is going to
absolutely
hurt what you think the defense can do.
When I watched him play in run defense, he really improved at the point of attack. Like, he is tough to move. He's a strong dude. But the linebackers weren't always able to take advantage of that. And so that's a really astute point. Sometimes his job is to eat double teams, and other guys have to take advantage of that. And the defense just couldn't. If you really look last year, and we've talked about this before, you've got, you know, Houston, Jones, and Peters. And then Ragland down the stretch. And besides that, they did not have a lot of guys that played particularly well.
So do you think it was more the absence of an edge pressure in terms of the way they structured their double teams because of the edge rusher on one side, or the other guy inside the interior lineman?
The other guy inside hurt him a lot. And then the interior rush, when he – one thing Sutton did a lot of was moved him to the edge, way more than I thought. He was edge rushing a lot on obvious passing downs, and there was just no interior rush where, you know, if Jones moved to the edge, there was no interior rush. If Jones was on the interior, the edge rusher didn't really do much that was in his spot other than Houston. And so it was kind of, you know, I hate to cheat, it was kind of both. It really was on pass rushing downs when they sent Houston and Jones. If those guys won, the Chiefs got pressure. If those guys didn't win, and no defender wins even half the time.
Now, wait a second. We all know that they didn't send Houston more than, what, 25% of the time?
Yeah,
so he was dropping
yeah
into pass coverage.
Right.
Well, I'm just saying. I mean,
no, it was rough.
You know?
Right. And so I really, with Jones, I actually walked away with a really deep appreciation for the improvements he made in his game. Like, he improved in things that you see on tape. They didn't necessarily translate at certain times because of failures around him. I actually made sure to watch like bad defensive games, right? Like the first Oakland game or the Jets game, to try to find out, man, what, you know, was he part of it? He was like almost never part of the problem. It just, the defense overall really lacked talent last year. And that's why you saw such a complete overhaul. And so, I mean, Jones, seriously, when a lot of the areas that I would gauge as his weaknesses, he improved on those in a marked way. And I really think that had the rest of the defense stayed level around him, I think we would have noticed it a whole lot more. So I have a whole new, I was kind of, well, I'm not sure how I feel about him this upcoming season. I'm excited, because hopefully the defensive talent is greater around him, and I think we're going to see a lot more of that improvements he's already made. And then plus, you know, third year is often a big leap year for defensive linemen.
Well, here's hoping that you are correct, because I kind of see that coming too. Folks, this is so strange yet so great. I'm very excited about the future. I hope this first show gives our listeners an idea how it's all going to come together. And folks, we're going to get a little bit better at it. We're going to keep stepping on each other because we all have things to say. But, you know, this is a work in progress, and it's very cool to have a third person on board. Matt, do you want to sign off the show for the first time?
Oh, my goodness. I don't even know how to sign off a show other than saying, you know. So here, I'll work on it. And I'll second that. I mean, to both you guys, I've known both of you for years. And I've really enjoyed, you know, appearing with you guys a lot. I've enjoyed interacting with you guys. I enjoyed meeting you guys in person. And I'm just really excited to try to bring something to the table. And then, you know, again, like Ryan, like you said, I'll be stepping on you guys all the time because, you know, I'm not good at shutting up. But I'll work on it. I will get there. My wife is somewhere rolling her eyes, I'm sure. But I will get there. I will figure it out. And I'm just excited to work with you guys. So, okay, let me see if I can do this. This has been an exciting show. It's an exciting time, and I can't wait to work with you guys moving forward. Folks, thank you so much for listening. This has been Locked On Chiefs with myself, with Ryan Tracy, Chris Clark. Thank you so much for listening. And you know what? It is a great week to be a Chiefs fan, and we're just excited to talk to you guys tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Locked On Chiefs podcast. While you're out there, give us a rating or review. And reach out to us on Twitter @RyanTracyNFL and @ChrisClarkNFL. We'll talk to you next time.